We've been talking about the hope that Christians have, and it's indeed a blessed hope. It is the anchor for our souls. In Hebrews, the 6th chapter, the Apostle Paul talks about that hope and how wonderful it is that we have that hope. We rely on that a great deal. This morning, I want to think for just a minute about the Bible. All of us have, at one time or another, read at least part of the Bible. Most of us have read the whole thing. But when you distill the Bible down to its core elements, what's the Bible about? What does it tell us? Well, I figured that the best way to answer that question was to look at what the Apostle Paul said. Now, of course, Paul is writing at a time when they didn't have Bibles. The only way that they could learn about God was to listen to people that were divinely inspired, meaning the Holy Spirit told them what they were going to say, so that they could tell people about God. And this is what the apostle said in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. He's writing to people to, in some ways, remind them of what he said when he was there with them. He had spent several years with them there in Corinth and had helped them to become a church. He says, "Brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received, and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you're saved if you hold firmly the word that I preached to you. Otherwise, you believed in vain. What I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised up the third day according to the scriptures." So let's kind of dissect that a little bit. Paul says, "I want to tell you about the gospel." And here in 1 Corinthians, he's going to present for us the gospel in a nutshell. I want to tell you about the gospel. And here's the essence that Paul talks about in the first four verses. He says, Jesus died for our sins. He was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day. Now, we come together every first day of the week, and we remember those three things as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Specifically, we focus on Jesus, the sacrifice that he made for us. It's not a time that we focus on necessarily his burial and his resurrection, but those are all bound up together. Here's the essence of the gospel. And I preached it before, that Jesus came here, died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day. What does it mean when he says this is the gospel that I preach to you? What about that is going to be termed gospel? It's good news. You know, that's the root meaning of this term, gospel. It's not a word that we use very often. We sometimes talk about gospel truth as a modifier to say that what we're saying is really true. But that's not the way that the apostle is using it here. He's talking about good news that he preached to those folks. It was news that they wanted to hear, because for the most part, they were not living the way that they should have been living. And they knew that. And they were excited about having some understanding of a way that they could be released from what they had done. So he says, it's good news. Three ideas: the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. When we talk about the gospel, we're not talking about a set of rules that you follow in order to get to heaven. Now, there are rules that are for Christians, but that's not what gospel is. Gospel is the good news about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Those are facts. When we talk about obeying the gospel, we're really not obeying facts. We're looking at other commandments that we've been given based on the reality of those facts. And we respond to those facts by doing what God would have us to do. But you know, I think in some ways that maybe I sold the gospel short, the good news. It's always our habit to try to read the Bible in its context. We take a statement that the apostle made, and it doesn't stand on its own as just a very short verse out of the Bible, but it's in the relationship that it has to the whole context that the apostle talks about in this place. So let's read 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. And I think when we're done, we'll be able to see that the gospel, good news, is more than just the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. This is what he says. Brothers and sisters, you can read along with me. I'm reading from the New International Translation. If you are reading from a different translation, it may sound a little bit different, but I think the New International Translation is an easy version for us to understand. It's written kind of in more modern English. So read along with me if you want to. Brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you're saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you believed in vain. If you don't hold firmly to this, you believed in vain. What I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised the third day according to the scriptures. But there's no period there. That's a comma. He says, this is what I passed on to you as of first importance. He talks about three things, but that's not the end of that sentence. He would appear to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all of the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as one abnormally born. Paul became an apostle after the time that the 12 original apostles had been called and chosen and instructed by Jesus. We could talk about that, but we'll just leave that for the moment. He says, I'm the least of the apostles. I don't even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. When Paul was not a Christian, Paul did everything he could to find Christians and put them to death. Paul was a leading acolyte of Jewish thought. And Paul believed that it was his responsibility to persecute these people that had left what he perceived was Judaism and begun following this Jesus. But he says this, and I think this is as much a part of the gospel as the beginning part of the gospel. By the grace of God, I am what I am. This grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach. This is what you believe. If it is preached that Christ was raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there's no resurrection from the dead? If there's no resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. You see, that's why I said, first of all, I had to preach about Jesus dying, being buried, and being raised again, because that's the beginning point. He says, more than that, we're found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified that he raised Christ from the dead, but if he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised, for if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. Yes, you have to think about whether Jesus was raised from the dead. Those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. Fallen asleep is just a euphemism for they died. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all men to be most pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of them who have fallen asleep or who have died. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. As in Adam all die, so in Christ we will all be made alive, but each in turn. Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. The end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he's destroyed all dominion and authority and power, for he must reign until he puts all enemies under his feet. He is reigning now, and he will continue to reign until all the enemies are put under his feet. Then he says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And then he explains that statement a little bit. He says, for he has put everything under his feet. Now, when it says everything has been put under him, it's clear that this does not include God himself, the Father, who put everything under Christ. When he's done this, when Jesus has done this, when he's destroyed death, then he himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, that God may be all in all. Now, if there's no resurrection, what will those do that are baptized for the dead or looking forward to their death? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them? As for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? I face death every day. Yet just as surely as I boast about you in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I fought wild beasts in Ephesus with no more than human hopes, what have I gained? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought. Stop sinning For there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. You know, it is good news. What are the parts of the good news? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's the beginning point. But that's not all. He continued, and he says, the good news is that even though in Adam all die, in Christ we're all made alive. We know about the universality of death, don't we? Every man that's born dies. Our friends, our enemies, our loved ones, people we don't know, even we ourselves understand that because of Adam and what he did in the garden, we will die. But the good news is that we can be made alive in Christ. If you stop with the statement that in Adam all die, that's not good news. In fact, that's depressing. But the apostle says, in Christ, we're made alive. We can become new creatures. We can know that there is a heaven. We can know that we will be raised from the dead. The grave will not hold its victims. Ultimately, the graves will be opened and all men will come forth from the grave. That's good news. Then he says, when Jesus returns, he'll deliver the kingdom to God after he's destroyed all the opposition. Jesus is coming again. He came the first time to deal with sin. He had to die. We've seen that already, the death, burial, and resurrection. But he's coming back. And that's really good news. Because when he comes back, he'll put to death all of the opposition. Jesus is reigning now. He's on his throne in heaven, sitting at the right hand of God. Unfortunately, we're living on the earth. And because we're on the earth, we have to deal with the brokenness of the people that inhabit this place. There's great evil. People commit murder. They steal. They lie. One day, Jesus is going to come back to the earth, and everything in opposition to him will be destroyed. I can't wait for that day. I know he's reigning now, but I really want him to deal with all of the difficult things that happened here. He has to reign until death is destroyed. Remember I said we all die? It's true. One day, when Jesus comes back and he does away with everything in opposition to the way that he wanted us to live, he will eventually deal with death. And death will be destroyed. Oh, that's good news. I may face death now, but death will be destroyed. It will be completely done away. And then finally, God will be all in all. Wouldn't it be nice if we could live in a world where everyone lived the way that God wants them to live? I'd love to have that. That would be the best news that I could think of. That's good news. That's gospel. God will be all in all. Satan will be destroyed. God will reign, and there will be no evil. He can do that. If, as Paul said, we're just thinking about what it would be like to live in this life only, then we've missed really what the gospel is about. The gospel is about heaven. And that's the thing that we all need to look forward to. Well, that's good news. Don't sell it short by stopping at the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The good news includes all of 1 Corinthians 15. We want you to enjoy that good news too. If you've never put on Jesus, if you've never become one of His, if you've never looked at the facts and decided that based on those facts, you're wanting to come to Jesus, then we can help you do that. You can become a new creature in baptism. We'll help you. That's what Jesus told the apostles to do. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And we want to help you to do that. If you've not lived the way that you should have lived, if you forgot, then the good news that Paul brings you is you can come back to your senses and you can live as you should live. And I guess that's good news for all of us, because goodness only knows we have trouble. But we want you to think about that.